Good morning. The first thing I'd like to say is I'd like to thank all of you for chanting this new chant, this Jusege chant, with me this morning, all together. I think it's the first time this chant has been chanted in the temple by everyone. I have chanted it while I have been here sometimes, but only by myself. And it is a chant that is very meaningful to me. They all are in their own special way. And this one has been with me for a long time, and I with it for a long time. And I carry it in my heart always. And it was quite moving, still is very moving for me, that we all chanted it together. So thank you. So this morning I thought I would talk just a little bit about how this chant moves me, much in the same way that the reading that we did today from Dogen moves me. I always find it interesting to see how some of the themes from Shin Buddhism and Zen Buddhism work, they come together for me. And Shinran, who founded Shin Buddhism, and Dogen were contemporaries, but it is, as I understand it, quite unlikely that they knew each other or knew each other's teachings. So in this chant, one of the parts I'd like to talk about is this part at the end where we say Namu Amida Butsu. This is saying the name of Amida, and it's translated as I entrust myself to the Buddha of infinite light and life. I entrust myself to this great universe and us that is constantly universing. I entrust myself to this one bright shining pearl that is constantly in creation, always shape-shifting and turning. And this entrusting for me can be heard as I take refuge in this great universe and us. I take refuge in what is arising right in this moment. Quite a thing to think about taking refuge, which often brings to mind safety, in arisings that may not feel safe at all. Anger, depression, discouragement, fear. Taking refuge right there, right now, right here, right now, in whatever is arising. Even those things that I want to run from. And this entrusting ourselves, and the piece we read from Dogen, he sings about trust. just going to go right to that page and read you this part. He says, "You attain the marrow and are invariably transmitted the Dharma through your utmost sincerity and trusting heart. There is no path that comes from anything other than sincere trust. This trusting heart, what can it mean to trust this, what's here right now?" This has been, and still is, and probably always will be, but who knows about that, a great practice for me. I have realized that, and this is not new news for me, or probably for some of you who know me well, that I have a very strong will. And for most of my life, it served me well. I was able to make a life fit most of the time into how I wanted it to be. I don't say it was easy, but I have a strong will and I put it to good use, I thought. And as my life continued to unfold, things began to happen that were beyond what I could make bend to my will. Quite a disturbing experience for me, and also one that has had great value for me. It's been a journey to live into this, entrusting myself to what is here right now. And this trusting what's here right now has actually continued to strengthen and enlarge the trust that I have. I see this freedom, this liberation that we also sing about, that comes from actually being with what is here. Even when it is overwhelming, even when I would rather have it be something else with all my heart, this living into my life as it is, not as I wish it would be, not as I think it should be, not any of those fantasies over there somewhere, but this life right here that I have, with this body and this mind. Coming to the place where I can actually let it be. And sometimes, I have to admit, sometimes it's actually quite a struggle. I often spend time suffering by working really hard to try to change things from the way they are. In fact, sometimes I wear myself out. And then, either through good Dharma brothers and sisters, or reading a sutra, going to the Zen center, calling a Dharma friend, or just sitting alone chanting, or sitting Zazen, I remember, oh right, just this, just this, what's right here, right now, this is it. There's nowhere else I need to go. There's nothing else I need to do. Nothing that needs fixing. Even though my heart is broken and I want to fix things. This entrusting ourselves. And it's a trusting that comes from experience, my own experience, the evidence of my life, not something out there that said, oh, you just trust, just go ahead, just trust. This is not how it is. I trust myself, I entrust myself to the Dharma. When we use that word, sometimes it means the teachings. And I have found that the teachings are quite reliable. Often when I am suffering, the teaching I am not entrusting myself to is that things are impermanent. Things are constantly changing. Life is uncertain and unpredictable. And when it arises for me and I'm able to remember this, oh, right. Yes. Life is impermanent. As we learned, I think it was yesterday, that the Buddha at the end of his life said, everything is falling apart. I'm paraphrasing. Everything is falling apart. Yeah. And this entrusting into the teachings, so reliable I have found through my practice. Entrusting myself to my Zazen practice. It has shown me that it is very reliable. We have a beautiful meal chant for this coming and going, and we have a beautiful meal chant that we use on our other types of sesshins, that is part of the Orioki chant, that says, entrusting ourselves to the Sangha. I have found entrusting myself to the Sangha to be very reliable. Something I can take refuge in, as I am encouraged to do in the three refuges. So this entrusting ourselves, quite something. Buddha Ehe Dogen says, you attain the marrow and are invariably transmitted the Dharma through your utmost sincerity and trusting heart. There is no path that comes from anything other than sincere trust. Perhaps a thought arises in your mind of, what if I don't have a trusting heart? What if my trust is not 100% sincere? Dogen tells us this as well. He says, practice by brushing off the fire on your head, or practice by standing on your toes. Practice with heart, practice with beyond heart, practice even with half. He's pointing for me, he's pointing to this all-inclusive practice of being human. When sometimes the best I can do is simply show up. sometimes the best I can do is just sit still. Sometimes the best I can do is not trust. When I'm in that delusion of being that island alone, all alone in the middle of this great ocean, forgetting that underneath the ocean, all connected, all one. And when I'm in that place of all alone, so hard to trust, so hard to entrust. And one way that is helpful to me is to simply remember, great universe and us universing in this moment as Laura, not trusting. Yeah. And all one thing. Because we can hear this as we have to have a special kind of heart, a special kind of trust, a special kind of sincerity, and if we don't have it, then we're left out. And I don't know any other practice that is all-inclusive as Zen is. And I so appreciate that. I spent a lot of my life feeling like I was on the outside looking in. I was on the off on the sidelines, watching other people participate, not belonging. Perhaps because there were parts of me that I didn't feel that I could accept. So I didn't belong even for myself. And this practice invites me to gather all of it into my house, throw it into the house of Buddha. Every last bit of this being human, every single part of it, all included, I can truly entrust myself to this in whatever form it takes in this moment. And even when I can't, even when I can't, I'm still entrusting myself to this one great universe and us. Thank you. So I invite everyone to sit comfortably, and this is the time for our Dharma dialogue, and everyone's invited to come forth. In whatever way.
Was so beautiful. The first time I saw that in the chant book, I just kind of turned the page really quickly. There's all that stuff at the bottom, just made my head want to explode. But although, as you said, these syllables are mysterious to us, the meaning of that chant came through in the way you chanted it. And it was such a gift this morning that it took up all of the space And it gave us this beautiful presence to take in and to give back. Just beautiful. And then you followed it up with that Dharma talk that did the same thing. So thank you for this.
Thank you for your talk, Laura. And I was really caught when you talked about wearing yourself out.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, what a lovely description of our work on the cushion. Right? Because we all try so hard to be this self that we think we are, and we enact this over and over. And I think this wearing ourself out, you can't say, I'm not going to do it anymore. Or you can say that, but it doesn't appear to have a lot of impact. I will not. And then, but doing it over and over again, there's some wearing away, wearing out. This self that seems so solid gets a little thinner. We're actually talking with the teachers the other day about how when we age, our skin actually does get thinner. So biologically, we're doing that. Certainly there is this, it gets less substantial. These long days on retreat, you can really want to be yourself, but you just don't have the energy. You know, I'd like to keep complaining, but I'm too tired to complain, you know, and the real gift of that. So thank you for that phrase.
And who would have known, like, such a relief to wear oneself out?
Yeah, right.
And I often feel, sometimes when I get to that place, I often feel like, you know, when we were kids, I would be tussling with my brother, you know, and I would finally cry uncle because he's older and he's much bigger than I was, right? Uh-huh. And there's sort of this, I call it a giving over. Sometimes we call it a surrender, and sometimes it's just seeing that, I'm just too tired to complain, you know? That being with what's here right now actually takes a whole lot less energy than me trying to still hold myself together and meet the world in the way that I think I should. Putting in air quotes there. Yes, Diana.
The word that resonated for me was belonging. Mm-hmm. Belonging. Truly belonging. And it's been something that has accompanied me through my life. And as I became more and more homeless, in the sense that my home, my original home, which is England, the United Kingdom, no longer was my home where I lived, and then I moved again and then again and again, so I've been kind of like a nomad, and each time moving, making my home in this new country, in a new culture, in a new language, and that had a lot to do with feeling where I belonged. And this sense of finding your own home, finding the inner home, but not just that, finding also the outer place of belonging. And and I found many places along on the way. But when you talked about entering the house of Buddha, that is where I said, well, I think of all the houses that I've entered on my path, the house of Buddha seems to be the one where I feel the most belonging.
Yeah.
And and this has been the gift of Boundless Way Zen, and particularly David and Melissa for introducing me to that by coming to Italy.
Yeah. We had to go all the way to Italy.
Thank you.
You know,
I wanted to thank you for that, and also this this belonging for me was the welcoming into the human race. I somehow was holding myself to a standard that I could never meet. I worked for years to try to be perfect. I thought that was what everyone was doing. And somehow I got the message that that's what I needed to do, to be a perfect person. Thankfully, I found it impossible. it was actually took me a long time to come to that. And this belonging to the human race, I think this is the house of Buddha. You know, this being human, how lucky we are. And the Buddha talks about what a gift it is to be born as a human. Because we are then given the opportunity, if we take it, to practice. Wake up.
I was going to go on another track entirely.
Oh, sure.
Back to what you said about the welcome that you felt in this practice. I keep thinking about one of my Dharma heirs no longer practices with us, but I still have a relationship with him. He's a friend and colleague, Dominic Kulikowski. And he was the person who created the first temple website, not the first Boundless Way Zen website. And he decided to put on the home page, welcome home. And we've kept that ever since. It feels so resonant to me that what you're saying, welcoming oneself into the house of Buddha, you know, this place is just a temporary, fragile rising into existence of something. But the thing that you're talking about, this welcome home, you know, that's not subject to the fragmentation of time and space like everything else. So to really feel that and resonate with it, then you know that even though I suspect you are going to go back to Italy after this retreat is over. Yeah. But you will be living at the temple on the airplane and when you get home with your husband and family. It's just the way this works. It's so wonderful. I'm very grateful to Dominic for that phrase. Give him a little credit for putting it up. The home page. Modern technology.
Your talk reminded me a little bit of a Dharma talk and discussion that happened last time in December. A question I raised about this, in the dark, don't go looking for the light. There's lightness in the dark, don't go looking for it. And this idea of when you are going through a difficult time, sad, loss, that trust that it'll pass, and how you can only really get that, I think, by having gone through it before. Like if you're saying that, you know, it's not like someone said, you know, just trust that things will change. But, you know, I think it helps me to think back to other times where I felt like, this is the end, or this is like, oh, I can't go on. And then the sadness does lift, and sometimes it actually feels really good. Or it's a relief. But I think you can only, for me anyways, to remind myself sometimes that pain I suffered before, and you survive. And it can actually help you grow in different ways. And when you're in the darkness, to just say that to myself, like,
this too shall pass. This too shall pass. Not knowing how at the time. You don't know how it's going to, you know, you may not know how it's going to turn out, but that things will shift and change. That's something else you said in your talk that, it was actually in the comment, use that word surrendering, and I thought of the Sarah McLachlan song, it was called Surrender. Mm. Like sometimes there's just this sweetness in just like, instead of fighting it, like, oh, I have to fix this, or I have to like, change this, or I have to like, cheer up. sometimes right. You just like, oh, that sweet surrender can be really nice. Thank you.
Thank you for saying that about not having to cheer up. Right. You know, I can let go of that. Don't have to do. And I think also you make a very important point about we don't know how or when, you know, things will change, right? Things come, they go, they come, they go, and the universe is universing. All the time. And there is a reliability in seeing just that. For me, just in theories, it's like, yes, that is the truth of the matter. And so whenever it comes, when it goes, it goes. It's just that I tend to get very upset when it's not on my timetable. You know? I want things to go when I want things to go. Perhaps you've experienced this. But we have many teachings about that. And one of the really important teachings is just to be, really being with, allowing ourselves to be with the upsetness of not on my timetable. That's part of it too.
Yeah. So this surrender. A lot of people don't like the word surrender because it sounds like, you know, so when things get bad, just give up, right? and it's just bad. But surrender is actually a very important idea to me. And I think it has to do with this entrusting and refuge too, right? So, generally speaking, when I finally come to this place of surrender, it's not because I think that, you know, surrendering is the way to change things into something else. It's that I've explored every other possible option and they've all failed, right? And I've arrived in this place of completely being able to do otherwise. And I'm just feeling completely broken and unable to get myself or the universe to do the things that I seem to need them to do, right? And so for me, this is entrusting, right? Is the, what else is the, you know, it's entrusting myself to the functioning of the universe, however it turns out, because, you know, we're born and we end up dying, right? We know how it all turns out in the end. We're born and immediately we're in this free fall. Right? We don't know what's going to happen, and we imagine that we're in control of how things are going to go, and the reality is fortunately or unfortunately quite different from that. Right? It doesn't go according to my plan. It goes according to causes and conditions that are mostly outside of my control, and I have an opportunity to either, you know, spend all my time fighting that and trying to find, you know, the edge of the cliff to hang on to, or, you know, branches on the way down, or something that's going to give me some temporary sense of control. But the reality is that even if I were to hang on for a little while, eventually I'm going to fall. And this life is one of free fall, and it isn't
You know, the functioning is not all up to me. And this is the entrusting ourselves to the functioning of Buddha and Dharma and Sangha, and the fact that we absolutely cannot know that this is ever going to change in the moment of surrender. It may not. Eventually, there'll come a day where it does not, right? And instead of getting better, it probably gets worse, and it's over, right? But hopefully, we lived our life on the way down to that point, right? That's the important thing, actually, right? There's a koan, you know, reaching out and grabbing the strawberry on the way down.
Thank you. I was, my mind was kind of grooving along the same path, and I was thinking about times when everything really is falling apart for me. I often, you know, I think, well, I should know better. I'm a Zen master. I shouldn't be falling apart now. There's that voice that comes in, even critic, or. You know, countless permutations of what Laura was saying, it should be some other way. And this goes back to the capacity that we're all learning here to bear what the mind would tell us is unbearable. And to just dissolve into hopelessness, despair. You know, it sounds like I'm joking, but I'm like, oh, this fall and winter have been like, I felt like I took a special course. every week it was like, now what? And sometimes just sobbing, collapsed. And when I tried to use my strategies, you know, like this too shall pass is a great strategy. And other people tried it with me. That's always no, Melissa, things are going to change, really. I did not believe them. So for me, the word entrusting is a little problematic for me, just personally, mentally. And instead, I like to use the word remembering. Because when it's dark, 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 I don't remember any of that until it starts to unravel. And then a little light comes in, and then I go, oh, right. You know, and even, we know mentally that we're all going to die. But I've been with people who are dying, and everybody does it really differently. And sometimes there's real darkness, and often there isn't. So it's like this surprising quality of, can I bear to be completely dissolved and my heart broken and everything. Can I bear it? And then, you know, maybe this will be it forever and then we die. Or maybe there's going to be all this other stuff that happens that I can't even predict at this point. So for me, that's, it's not consoling, but it feels so important to be up for this. You know, and the fact that you are a person of the way and we're all people of the way says that we have this little idea that, yeah, okay, I'm up for it. I will do this. And to know you're not alone in it. You have the Sangha of the universe holding you in its loving arms.
Mike's reading this book. I love the title, Bearing the Unbearable.
Yes, yeah.
I think of it often. It's Bearing the Unbearable.
Well, and on that note, let's continue.
I thought it was over. Do we have to keep sitting? Oh, no.